Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. And truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight with me my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. We thank God for another Thursday where we can get together and study His Word. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank You for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study Your Word. We pray that You will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto You, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing Your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to Your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., we are another Thursday night, and I think this is the first Thursday in a couple of weeks where we didn't have extreme weather in
yep.
our area. We were looking at some tornadoes and some floods, and we were looking at some rainstorms, and I guess this weekend we'll see some of the remnants of Hurricane Sally that hit the Gulf in the south and really pummeled the coastline down there.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of wind and rain. So we thank God that He's allowed us to make it through, and we'll probably get some remnants of that, a little cooler weather for the next 3 days around here.
Right.
But we thank God for just allowing us to continue to get back together on Thursdays and just to be able to study His Word. I know it's important for us to be equipped, because during these challenging times that we live in, we need to have something to draw on to. And when we can draw the Word of God, it provides strength for us to help us to keep going. And it's important for us to, you and Dr. G were talking about on last Thursday, is to know the Word, get into the Word and know the Word, because building is not going to save you. Lord have mercy. Man's not going to save you. And The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will stand forever. So the only thing going to stay, save you, is the word of God. The Bible teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And so we need the word of God more than ever. And so we just encourage everyone during this great challenge in our lifetime with this pandemic, is to get in the word and stay with the word and stick with it. And God will bring us out and bring us through. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's so true, because there's so many scriptures in the Bible, if you know it, that can help you get through, like having peace in the middle of the storm, or the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lean not to your own understanding. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So there's, in the word, there's things that can encourage us. I've actually been studying this week, meditating on managing our emotions and using God's word to help manage our emotions. And it's really important in times like these, because what you see, what we're going through, the tension that it's caused, whether it's the storms, the fires, the pandemic, politics, the sneakiness, the evilness, it could cause your emotions to start just lashing out and on people, not believing, you know, what that God has you. But if you study his word and know his word, that will help you to manage that flesh, so you can walk by faith and not by sight.
Exactly. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, it'll also keep you from getting depressed and stressed out. To keep your mind focused on the one who can bring you out of all of this. So it's a good stress reliever.
And that's what I like about the Holy Spirit. And then as we're studying the book of Acts, and we're in the 11th chapter, what we see over and over again is that the people during that time, they went through some stressful things. There were some stressful situations. Last week we talked about how Peter and Cornelius, once they got together, the Holy Spirit and Cornelius' whole family got saved. And then when Peter went back to Jerusalem, they attacked him and criticized him. And you know, they, how dare you eat with these uncircumcised people? And you know, it was a thing of like a roller coaster of emotions, where for today you're up and then the next day you're down. And, you know, it was the thing that Peter did was to focus in on the word of God and tell the whole story. And Dr. G, we were talking about that last Thursday, is too many times people don't know the word of God, so they can tell the whole story and not follow behind somebody and get led astray. And that was our question on last week, was what are you glad about knowing the whole story of God? And so that in order for us to deal with the ups, the downs, the emotions, the pandemics, the storms, the home virtual learning, the virtual church and all of that, is to know the word of God. And the word of God will, if you know the whole story, you know that God has the ability to be able to calm the storms, to be able to take what man meant for your bad, and so you can see that it worked it out for your good. And so a part of your ministry, turns into your ministry, and because you can do all things through Christ, you have the strength. And, you know, if God be for you, who can be against you? And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you begin to start having that whole picture from Genesis to Revelation, when you begin to have that whole story, what happens is you have the ability, you're equipped through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to tap into the word of God no matter what your situation is. You know, when evil comes up, you know, and you see it in different factions, whether it's in ministry, whether it's religion, whether it's in politics, whether it's in your neighbor or your kids or your husband or your wife or your boogum snuggums, when you can tap into that word, you can speak the word of God to that situation, and you can stand firm on the word of God. You have the blessed assurance of the word of God, is the only thing that can overcome evil. You know, when you see that man was the word of God that came into this world that was able to overcome that. And it's important to know the whole story. So we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 11. And these first three verses is when Peter was criticized for carrying out God's plan, carrying out God's word. And, you know, these were his own folk in Jerusalem. And Sheila G., a lot of times the folk that are closest to you know that spot where they can cut you. They know the history, and they know how to hurt you. And a lot of times families and churches and, you know, people will take what you did in your past and try to throw it up in your face and try to attack you or hurt you. And Satan does the same thing. He tries to take your mind back to things that you used to do or how you used to behave. And right when you're in the blessings of God, the enemy will try to come in and tear you down. And so you have to be equipped to be able to realize the attack and see the attack of the enemy. And when you're equipped to see the attack of the enemy, you start utilizing the whole story or the whole word to be able to come and to overcome it. So in verse 4, after Peter was attacked, criticized, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV, Acts 11, verse 4, starting from the beginning. And, you know, all those years we went to Sunday school and all those years we went to Bible study and all those years we studied the Word of God, all of this helps us to understand the whole Word, the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and to be able to plug in the Word of God for that situation. That's why we title, you know, this Bible study, There's Nothing New Under the Sun, because the same Word of God that we're reading today is the same Word of God that was applicable to man back then. And anytime you have man that comes under God creation, the Word of God will apply to him. And so there's nothing new. And so what we have to do is we have to learn the whole thing.
Right.
When these things start happening, we can apply the Word. So start at verse 4, it says starting from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know the beginning, you're in trouble. You don't know the starting point. There needs to be a starting point. And what Peter did was he stayed focused and he started. He said, okay, I'm going to tell you, this is what God says about it. This is what God did. You got this problem with me eating with the Gentiles. You got this problem with me eating with the uncircumcised. You got this problem with me telling you that the Gentiles are saved also. And so he said, let me start from the beginning to address your concerns. Let me start from the beginning to let you know what God said. And if you are a child of God, you should be able to receive this. We should be able to get on one accord, and we should be able to move from this problem. We should be able to remove, we should be able to step over this stumbling block, and we should be able to go on from here. But a lot of times people don't get the whole story. We used to say this term when we was little, Sheila G., you all loud and wrong,
yeah,
or you all up in the Kool-Aid and don't know the flavor. I mean, we had all kind of statements like that because people didn't know what was the beginning. You loud and wrong. You in the Kool-Aid, but you don't know the whole story. And it happens in families. It happens with husbands and wives, children and parents. It happens in church. It happens in politics. People want to start from the middle,
right,
and get it loud and wrong instead of
That's
starting
right.
from the beginning and say, let's start from the beginning and let's tell the whole story. I know some folks say, let's tell a lie straight. If you're going to tell a lie, let me tell it right. You start from the beginning and you work your way through the Word of God, or you work your way through the situation, so there's no doubt of how this thing was. But people want to start in the middle and start this thing, what had happened was,
yes.
Sheila G.
Amen. Now that we're older, there's one thing that a phrase that I use now, even at work, where I say, and I'll say it to Jessica too, because sometimes when she's telling a story, but I'll do it a lot at work, is in the middle of the movie, because someone may come to us with a problem or with a situation, and like on the IT side, they're telling us it's broke, is this, that, and the other. I'm sure the same thing happens with your job, where it's like, I can't help you. I can't get you where you need to get. I can't fix it because I'm in the middle of the movie, so I don't know how it started. And it's the same mm-hmm. type of phrase. And that's why we can't take God's word out of context, because if you take it out of context, you can. That's how Satan does. He's in the middle of the movie. And so he twists it around, so man will take it and twist it around to make it for their good. But if you look at the whole context, if you look at the complete story, it's different than if you just start in the middle and try to jump to the end. It all has to flow. It all has to be in context. It all has to be together. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a hot mess.
Amen. And Dr. G, that's why God says we should do things decent and ordered. Flip back over to the King James, Acts 11, verse 4. He says, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. And we have to do things decent and order. And I don't know what it is, Dr. G, but folk, they don't want to follow order. It's like we want to do our own thing. It's like we don't want to hear the whole story. Take example for the little face covering that you wear. You know, we're in this pandemic, and you know, people don't think it's necessary to wear a face covering. I just ask anybody that's ever been around somebody that sneezed, Lord have mercy,
right,
and didn't cover their mouth or didn't put their sneeze in their arm. You know, which was going to be better for you, if they sneeze in their arm or they just sneeze outward? You know, it's common etiquette, it's common order that your droplets can reach me if it's not covered. So
right.
the order of the day is cover it up,
cover it up,
and it won't be spread. And Dr. G, but it seems like people don't want to follow the order that is laid out in the order that makes sense. Follow the order. It's not going to spread if you cover it up. You know, it's like, don't jump to conclusions about these Gentiles until I tell you what God has done. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you know, as humans, I don't know what it is, but you know, we like to do our own thing. We don't want nobody to tell us anything, and you know, we like to make it up as we go along. I don't know if we don't like the whole story or like the beginning part of it or what, but and especially when you start talking about in the church, you know, people will jump in with 2 feet, don't know anything, loud and wrong, but because they heard. But they don't know the whole story. And that's something that as humans, we have just, you know, taken that and run with it for whatever reason. You see it all in the where we're living today, politics, religion, even with the kids. So it's a thing where we just don't want to follow the order.
Amen, amen. And God is a God of order, and He tells us we have to do things decent and in order. And there's a reason, because if you don't do it in decent order, you can't get the outcome that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
And God desires us to have the outcome, His will, to be our will, to have the proper outcome. And so Peter went and he said, I need to start the beginning, and I'm going to expound to you the order which he came. And this lines up with my story. This lines up with the Holy Spirit. It lines up with Cornelius' story. And so what he does is the same story, the same order of events that happened in chapter 10 is the same events that happened that he's going to explain in chapter 11. And a lot of times, Sheila G., like you said, people want to embellish, people want to change the story, they want to change it, they want to flip it to make it where it sounds good to them. And that's where we get in trouble. But the thing is that if you're consistent with the Word of God, people can say a whole lot of stuff about you. But if they see that you're consistent with the Word of God, they'll be able to say, well, you know, I didn't like the way they look, or I didn't like the way she looked, or that, but they were consistent with the Word of God. And you know, down through the years, people will come to your church when they first started, and they'll still hear you preaching Jesus. In other words, you know, when we first started our church, you know, going on 17 years ago, the same Jesus that I was preaching, the same Jesus that we were teaching, the same God we were worshiping 17 years ago is the same Jesus, the same God is the same God we're worshiping today.
Mm-hmm.
And people will see that consistency. Now, whatever they want to do with it, that's up to them. But if we remain consistent, if we remain focused, telling the whole story, not just part of the story, not leaving stuff out. And, you know, people are good at leaving stuff out. You know, the media is good at that, of taking stuff out of context and leaving stuff out. But when you tell the whole story consistently, what happens is that becomes your base, that becomes your foundation. And I tell people, look back over your life. When you've gone through some difficult days, when you've gone through some challenges in your life, when you've gone through some challenges in your life or your family or your kids, and that same God, good God of mine, I'm getting running around the house now, y'all going to have to wait for me. If the same God that blessed me 10, 15 years ago, come on now, is the same God, Lord have mercy, I'm going to tell you the whole story. The same God that bought me out 15 years ago is the same God that bought me out every year and is going to bring me out this year. So I don't have to worry about what my eyes see or what the situation or the circumstance is, but I need to focus on the God that knows the whole story. He knows the beginning and the end at the same time. In the same way he bought me out 15 years ago is the same way he's going to bring me out right now. And when you have that root and that grounding and that foundation, because you know the whole story, I know how the story is going to end. And when you know how the story is going to go in, you can endure the storm. Sheila G., help me out.
Amen. And it's so important, like you said, the key word that you said is focus. If we focus on God, when we go through our trials and tribulations, we already know that He's going to bring us out. The thing about God is he is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Man will switch up on you. They'll be your best friend, thanking you, praising you 1 minute, but let something go that they don't like, or let you do something that they don't like. Then they got an attitude. Then they don't want to talk to you. But then as soon as they get out of the feelings, they're back talking to you again. Man is wishy-washy. They're up and down because they tend to want to use people. They're like, okay, I can. If you do this for me, then I'm good. But if you're not there for me, then I can throw you to the side and I don't need you anymore. But God is consistent. God even forgives us when we mess up. You know, he still loves us conditionally. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be constant people pleasers, because, you know, and that's what's so amazing about man is we would rather please man who is not going to consistently be there versus be obedient to God who was with us whether we're doing right or wrong, and gives us a choice. And he's still going to love us. But man will like you 1 minute. They will lie to you. They will twist it around. That as long as you pleasing them, they're happy with you. But if you're not doing what pleases them, they're not. But God is so consistent. We can always depend on him when we're in that storm because we know he's not going to leave us. And he'll chastise us if we're not doing the right thing. And that's if your faith is truly in the Lord, you know when you've done something wrong, and God has let you know that you've done something wrong, but you can humble yourself, go to him, and he will forgive you, and he will guide you and provide you a way out. Now, man, if you do something wrong with man, they'll tell you they'll never forgive you, or they'll hold a grudge. God doesn't hold a grudge. And that's why we focus on him. So that as we're going through, and we're seeing this more and more today, how people. That's why we have so much division in this country, because people are trying to please people. If everybody mm-hmm. would come together and just be consistently focused
Amen.
On God, then that craziness would go away, and you would see a separation between the love of the Lord, the love of the world, and the hate, and then God can push that away. But we're so busy, man is so busy caught up in pleasing man, they're not pleasing God, and you have to be consistent. You can't be glorifying God, God in the good times, and then when it's rough, then you're going to try to help him out and do your own thing and drift off to the side. But then as soon as something bad happens, Lord, help me, then he helps you out, and then you go back to doing your dirt again. You have to consistently worship him in season and out of season, and that's kind of like what is going on with Peter here, is that
mm-hmm.
he's not popular right now with his people, but he's mm-hmm. still consistently going to tell that same story. So it's in season and out of season that we have to be consistent in believing and trusting in God's word.
Amen, amen. It's like you said, it's not a popularity thing. Dr.
Right.
G, I know you celebrated 47 years in ministry, and it is not a popularity contest. And you know, people love you on Sunday and hate
uh-huh.
you on Sunday afternoon. And sometimes they won't wait for Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, especially if you're trying to bring order to the situation or the church. But it's a thing of not being concerned about being popular, but about being, you know, obedient and faithful to God, Dr. G.
Well, you know, along with that, we have to remember that God has a plan for each of us. And if we can remember that, and that will help keep us focused and not get off track. As Sheila was saying, you know, with man, one minute they may be this way, the next minute they may be next week. But as I've grown in Christ, and you're right, I found that especially church folk are strange.
Yeah.
That they can be wishy-washy, come in, they love the Lord, but then get mad with you the next. And I found that as a preacher pastor, I have to stay consistent in how
yes.
I deal with them, because if
mm-hmm.
not, I find I can get on their level, cuss folk out, and then I got to go before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive me. So you know
that
being consistent, you know, you got to trust the Lord in knowing that he's got a plan for each of us. He's got a plan with all this pandemic and everything else that's going on in the world. But our focus has got to be on the Lord. And what Peter is trying to do is to get everybody to understand, you know, stop looking at what I did. Here's what took place. And I like
there
the way
go.
He went back. He going to tell the story of, okay, this is what happened, and this is where we are. And eventually they're going to get to the point where they understand that God's
mm-hmm.
plan wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles also. But it takes people a long time to get, because they're so busy trying to do their thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's see how Peter dealt with this thing. Folk on him. Folk. Criticizing them, folk making faces at them. So Peter said, I can't allow me to get on your level, but I'm going to tell you what God did. And so let's go to Acts 11 and verse 5, and I'm reading in the King James. He said, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. In verse 6, he says, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And in verse 7, he says, and I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. This is God giving him specific instruction. He's showing him. He's giving specific instructions. And in verse 8, he said, but I said, not so, Lord. But nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. And this is just showing us that all of us have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have different responses. All of us are unique individuals. And
mm-hmm.
it just so happens that Peter needs a little more. Most of the time, it's about three times for, it's two or three times for him to actually catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that, we have to learn as parents, as children, as just people in general, in ministry, whatever. Sometimes we're not going to get it the first time. We have to be patient. We
right.
have to be consistently looking at what we're dealing with. And I'm sure Sheila G, as you're a consultant, and you go and you try to explain to people where they're off track and how to get on track. Sometimes there are people that it takes a little longer for them to get
yeah.
it, to get to the aha moment.
Yeah.
And so here we see Peter, he hadn't got to the aha moment yet. Mm-hmm. And so after he says, not so, you know, he's telling God, no, because, you know, in the book of Leviticus and Leviticus law, we're not supposed to, you know, eat anything that's four-footed and anything that are creepy or anything that's not listed in that Leviticus outline in the Old Testament. And so Peter said, not so. And he said it quick. In verse 9, it says, but the voice answered me again from heaven. And it said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
Uh-huh.
And in verse 10, if we go to verse 10, it says, and this was done three times,
uh-huh.
and all were drawn up again into heaven. And so here, God knows us. God knows how we're going to respond. God knows our individual tendencies. And every mother knows her child's cry. Every
yep.
mother knows what their child will do, what they're not going to do. Every mother can look at their child when their child lying. They know when they lying. They know
uh-huh.
when they drinking. They know when they smoking. They know when they cutting up. They
but,
know
yeah.
they know their children. They know them. They because they have that umbilical cord connection, you know, and they know them. And every child is different. So God knows Peter, and he knows Peter's way. Peter was he was a little rough around the edges, and God knew that he had to, most of the time, you know, even when he told him, you know, who the men say that I am. Jesus asked him who the men say that he is. He said that, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, you know, when Peter betrayed or denied Jesus, he denied him three times. And he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And he told him three times, if you love me, feed my sheep. Because Jesus told him, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And so this three thing is what's common with Peter, that he had to get it three times before he had the aha moment. And you know, that lets us know that in all of us, we don't respond differently. And so the enemy tries to take advantage of that to divide us, because we don't all respond differently. We're not all from the same background. We're not all from the same. We didn't all have the same upbringing. But God wants us to be on the same page, to realize the bottom line that you know, what he says is that what God has cleansed, don't call it common. Or if you go into the NIV in verse 10, it says this happened three times, and then it was, I'm sorry, go back to verse 9 in the NIV. It says the voice spoke from heaven a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so what God wants all of us to get to that point, but the enemy knows that if he gets too frustrated with me or me frustrated with you, what happens is we take our focus, again, we're talking about their focus, we take
mm-hmm.
our focus off the word of God, our focus off God's plan, and then we begin to start focusing in on, you don't know what she's talking about, he don't know what he's talking about, I'm trying to explain this to him, And if I'm explaining to them, they're not understanding, or it's taking them too long to get it. And so now we're not even focused on God, but we're focusing on our shortcomings. And that's the thing with man, is man gets so picky and nasty and irritated with man because of man's shortcomings. Like, all of us think that we're perfect. Somewhere along the line, somebody said that we were perfect, and we all think we're perfect. But in reality, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all of us have issues with an S behind it. Amen, like, amen. and we have to understand that's the condition of man. And so what we have to take is our fallen condition, or our condition that's been a condition that we have since the fall of man, and realize that only God can straighten this thing out. Not get frustrated with each other, not get frustrated with God, but trust God that he's going to cut through all of that and bring it all together. And so it took Peter three times before he got it. And once he got it, then God can move forward. It takes us to realize we have to keep focused. We have to keep staying on God's plan, keep talking to God until God gives us the clarity to go. And so we have to continue to walk by faith, even though we don't understand sometimes. Walk by faith. And if you continue to walk by faith and not by sight, what will happen is God will allow us to understand in due time. Sheila G., help me out.
Amen. It's two things that you see in the scripture, verses 1 through 9. God is amazing as to how he allows things to happen a certain way so that we, in turn, can lead others. You know, that's why it's important that we, you know, in everyday life, give a testimony of what God has done in our lives, which helps other people. By Peter telling this story and starting from the beginning, he's basically telling these people, I was where you were as well. I, too, did not believe that I can touch anything unclean because this is the way we always did it. But I'm gonna use myself as an example. God came to me three times. This is how it happened, and now this is why I'm a believer. That is why it's so important for our lives to be a testimony to others, that we should not keep this to ourselves, because we can say, I've been there, which is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I understand you. You guys are criticizing me. I'm going to manage my emotions. I'm not going to get defensive. I'm not going to lash back. But God took me through this process to get me here. So let me share with you. I get where you are, but let me share mm-hmm. with you what did for me, and this is how I am where I am, and so I need you to come here this way, to follow what God is saying. I'm revealing to you how God brought me to the understanding, so I am showing you by example how, through my testimony, how you can come to God's understanding that the Jews and the Gentiles can worship one God together. The other point is, as you were saying, whether it be church, whether it be our jobs, especially me as a consultant, we as human beings get this thing of, well, this is the way we've always done it, whether mm-hmm. it makes sense or not. And so we're resistant to change. And, you know, you've been saying in these last couple of Bible study lessons that God is a progressive God, and he moves mm-hmm. on. We get set in our ways. This is the way we've always done it. You know, even when, like I said, on my job, when I'm trying to show somebody, well, you can get to the same answer, do the same process, but here's a new way of doing it, and here's a better way of doing it, the same way as the church. Still consistently following God, still consistently giving God the praise, but, okay, instead of doing it in the building, we're going to do it virtually. Or instead of having just men preachers, we're going to have female and men preachers, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. choose anyone or anything. So there's two things. One, your testimony can help somebody else get to where God wants them to be. And two, we can't always get stuck on this is the way we've always done it.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, just sitting here thinking, and when you go back and you look back over Peter's life, this is why the Lord had to take his time with Peter, because he knew that Peter was going to kind of be that bridge to help mm-hmm. draw the Gentiles into serving this God. But he had to go through what he went through. He had to be convinced in the way that he could. Like you said, Peter was a little rough around the edges. But once he got it, he got it. Lord could use him to go forward, do what I tell you to do. Now he's come back home, and he's had to do the same thing that the Lord did with him, to present it to them in a way that they could understand it, because and you've already heard, because most folk are not going to get it the first time around. That's just the way that we are. Human nature, and the fact that the devil is right there, you know, attacking at the same time. So most folk are not going to get it the first time around. It's going to take longer sometimes for some people. But as Peter is doing, he's taking the slow route, and he's gone back, and he's presenting the story to them, and basically the same way the Lord presented it to him, to the point where they can get it, all right, because they were accustomed to Old Testament ways of doing things. And, you know, I've heard that, well, this is the way that we've done it for years. Yeah, well, it doesn't mean that it has to continue. You know, and Sheila hit it, because God is a progressive God. The only thing, God doesn't change his ways of doing things, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But can you imagine what this world would be like if things hadn't changed?
Amen. And so we're gonna go through the phone lines, but the place we're trying to get to, I just want to jump down to verse 18 real quick. And a lot of times when we go through these chapters, the end result is at the end of the chapter. And so as we're building upon line by line, precept by precept, and we're trying to cover the whole section, we want to get to verse 18. And if you look at verse 18, I'm going to read it in the NIV and the King James. It says, when they heard this, after Peter, this is what they're saying, Peter's explaining the whole story, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And that's the NIV. And in the King James, it says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And so in order to get to the end of these sections, you have to present the whole thing. And so it's important. I know sometimes it's like, man, they're going line by line. They're taking it real slow, 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. But the thing is that you have to rehearse it. You have to say these things. You have to give the whole story so that you can get an understanding. Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get an understanding. And so what we're trying to do is get people to understand that the same people that walked the earth back then are the same people that walk the earth now, and that everyone has challenges. Everyone has ups and downs, and, you know, trying to present this message is always being attacked by the enemy. And we have to learn, we talked about last week, about this living business, how to get involved with the Word of God to be able to help us live this life and know the whole story. We're trying to get to verse 18, but before we can get to verse 18, where people have no more objection and praise God, we had to go back to chapter 10,
right.
And we had to go back to all of chapter 10, then rehearse it in chapter 11, to get to verse 18 in chapter 11. Chapter 10 had 47 verses. I think, how many verses did chapter 10 have? Chapter 10 had 48 verses.
Right.
And so now in chapter 11, in order for us to get to where it says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. It takes time to get through chapter 10 to chapter 11. To see how it all comes together, get to verse 18. But too many times, we don't want to take the time to stay focused to be able to get to say, okay, this is how the story ends.
Right.
But we have to take our time to be able to build these characters, look inside of these characters, look inside of these situations, get a perspective from Sheila G, get a perspective from Dr. G, get a perspective from Pastor C, get the comments from the congregation or the believers from the churches, so that we can get to chapter 11, verse 18, where people are praising God and having no further objections, or, and the King James says that they held their peace. In other words, where everybody's on one accord, we have a peace because we went through the Word of God, we understood the Word of God, we got the inputs from the Holy Spirit to see where God wants us, and He wants to bring the Jews and the Gentiles together. But He said, in order for to do that, let me show you this in my word of all these people, all these entities that were involved to get to verse 18. And so sometimes you have to read the instructions in order to have the proper outcome. And I know sometimes when we were, you know, getting our kids gifts and getting them ready for, you know, Christmas morning, and I didn't read the instruction, there was a little piece that I left out. And so now, instead of it taking an hour to get the gifts prepared, now it's taking 3 hours, and I'm tired, and I'm cranky, and it's Christmas morning because I did not read the instruction. And so now on Christmas morning, I don't have peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frustrated, I'm tired, I'm irritated. Because I didn't take the time to get the whole thing to get the proper outcome. And so what I'm saying is we have to go through and we have to see what it is that God is trying to show us and teach us from every verse and every line and every precept, so that we can see, so this is how God gets the glory. And sometimes in our lives, amen, it seems like it's taking too long. I know everybody's tired of this pandemic. Come on now.
We all going to have a testimony. We're going to have a testimony.
But at the end of the pandemic, Lord, we're going to have a verse 18.
Yep.
Where there'll be no more objections.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to praise God. And we're saying, so this is what God was trying to do. So I'm just saying this to us tonight. To tell everybody, hang in there. You know,
yeah.
Hang in there. It's going to be all right. We're going to stick to God's plan. And like you said, Sheila G., we're going to manage our emotions. We're going to let this word minister to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and realize that in the end, God's plan will come together. And that's what we have to hope and trust and believe is going to happen. There's going to be a verse 18. Believe me, at the end of this, what we're going to do, there's going to be a verse 18. CLG?
Amen. It's definitely going to be a verse 18, but we just have to have faith. We have to trust in the Lord. And like I was saying, chapter 10 had to happen so that Peter would have the proper testimony so he could encourage the people by saying, I was there, I understand, I'm managing my emotions and not snapping at you because you don't believe me and I haven't led you astray. But let me tell you, I was there. This is how God brought me to where I needed to be. And that's what we need. We need our lives to be a testimony to others about the goodness of the Lord so that we can be patient and realize that God did it before, He's going to do it again, and it's going to be all right.
Amen. So I just wanted to finish out verses 11 through 18. So we're going to go back to the NIV in verse 11. It says, right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel. This is Cornelius, had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. This is an important verse too, Dr. G. Verse 14, he says, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. God's plan through all these characters, through these six guys, through these Peter, through Cornelius, through all of the subplots and the plots and the backgrounds and all of this stuff that goes on through these two chapters, is he wants folk to get saved. And he will do what is necessary through people and through situations and circumstances for people to get saved. But I think sometimes our focus is not on that because we allow ourselves to get in the way. Dr. G.
Well, that's true. And that's the beautiful part about the Lord, because you know, he wants all to be saved and none perish. But he's got to do it the way that he does it, because he knows that everybody's not going to accept it. Some have already made up in their mind that they don't want it. And because we listen to other people, he had to play it out and allow it to go through the motions and go through what he has to go through. I mean, when we look at where we are right now with all that's happening, you know, there's a whole bunch of naysayers out there who, you know, I've seen a lot of people even in our church. You know, they were coming at one point when we were in the building. But now that we're not in the building, a lot of these folks, for whatever reason, that, you know, their thing is, well, I just can't get with Zoom. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's on Zoom or we're in the building. The whole thing is, you know, God wants to do a work within us. And if we allow him, he will get the glory out of our actions. But it's got to be done in the way that he tells us to do it. And, I mean, I tell folk, look, on Zoom, we are having a ball. Just celebrated home. And everybody that comes on that call, they are amazed at how we do it. Now, we can't take credit. It all belongs to the Lord. But he gets the glory out of it. But people know that their minds are made up. And so the Lord has to take the long way. That's why he had to deal with the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Take the long way to convince them as to what he is about.
Amen. Amen. And I like what you said about he's going to get the glory, and it's this Holy Spirit doing the work. So when we look at verse 15, Acts 11, verse 15, he says, as I began to speak. Now, Peter's speaking. He's at Cornelius' house. He says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to understand. As we begin to speak and work by faith, the Holy Spirit will begin to move. And in other words, when we take that initial step of faith, what happens is the Holy Spirit would take our faith and begin to start performing the work of God. It start performing the miracles, performing the restoration, performing the healing, performing the works of God. So he says, as I began to speak, and here comes the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about in this book of Acts. The Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. In other words, God was letting them know that the same Holy Spirit that blessed you all is the same Holy Spirit that's blessing them. And then this is the part that I like in verse 16. He says, then I remembered. In other words, he's bringing it back to his remembrance. Then I remember what the Lord has said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so as we begin to walk in faith and not by sight, but we walk in faith and we see the Holy Spirit begin to do the work of God in our lives and the lives of other people, then God will bring these things back to our members. We'll understand. That's why we got to stick to God's plan. We got to stick to his word. Because God will show us in due time, and he'll bring it back, and then we'll have that aha moment. So in verse 16, Peter is having that aha moment. And so in verse 17, he says, so if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Lord, have mercy. Sheila G., help me out with this.
Amen. And that's what we often do is we get full of ourselves. We think we're holier than thou. We want to judge people. But by judging people, we're pushing people away. And that's getting in God's way. A lot of times we forget what our mission is, that we're supposed to be servants of God and not try to be God or try to be holier than thou. And we get in God's way. We have to yield to his spirit and be led and guided by him.
Amen. Amen. So in verse 18, we got there. It says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. But God
Amen.
Wrapped it up. He tied it all in. And what we have to learn is to stay out of God's way.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask that question tonight. How important is it to stay out of God's way? How important is it to stay out of God's way? We're going to go to our first caller, last four digits, 3343. You're on there.
Well, I don't get into, good evening, everybody. I don't get into God's way. I listened to my grandmama tell me, said, in other words, we had people coming up as my generation came up, and they want to argue about the Bible. And if you don't know the Bible, don't say nothing, don't get no argument. They want to tell you about their scripture and how I went into the Bible. And you had to read the Bible back and say, remember this, did you go read the Bible? I said, but no, you going to argue? No, we're not going to argue about it. That's it. You get out of God's way. You let God, and you go to the Bible and study, listen to the Bible and read and understand what you're saying. And if you understand what you're saying, then you won't argue about it. If that's what you feel like doing, go ahead on. But to learn the Bible first before you start and want to argue about something. Mama said, no, you do not argue about no Bible at all. Get out of God's way. Stay out of the way and listen to what the Word says. And follow it. That's all you have to do. And it's just amazing when I sit and listen to things. How my grandmama used to talk to me all the time. She even make my mother. We all had Bible studies at the dining room table. And she, my mama, is my mother. And my grandma was the overseer of the whole Bible. And everybody get to the Bibles and want to study at the table. And she studied them with all of us. And it just takes me back again, this old years that go back to things that we used to do. And this is where we are. You stay out of God's way and just follow his word, and you'll be all right. And right now, I just don't feel nothing about no Bible or whatever virus we're going through. It's God's way. And then we don't own this world. God owns this world. That's it. And if you take it and take it with him, that's because he want to take it. That's all. Man to man, stay out of his way. And read his word and follow it, just like Peter spoke to do with Cecilia, was to stay in his out of his way and follow what God had given him the vision to do so. That's all I can say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0072. You're on there. Here 072. Must be listening in. We're gonna go to the next caller. Last four digits 7971. 7971. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is a good question. How important is it to stay out of God's way? It wouldn't be God, a God, if we knew everything and if we were in charge of everything. God is our all in all. And it's so important that we as Christians put him first and know who he is, obeying his word and letting him take charge of your life. Because as the old saying goes, why pray and then worry? You can't worry. And you've prayed to him to answer your prayer, knowing when you pray to him that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He honors his word. He does what he says he's going to do. And if it's in his will that something is to take place in your life, then it will happen. And if it doesn't, then you get your answer. And there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We have to trust him and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. We have to acknowledge God. Let him know who he is to us. And he shall direct your path. He's going to direct the path. You're not. You're not in charge of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so important to us. But not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And if you know what that means, you better keep your life in order. We have to fear him because he's always on right and he's always on time. And depart from thine evil. Stop doing things against God's will that you know that is sinful. It's so important that we stay out of God's way.
Amen.
When you know who he is and what he is to you. God is so good. But yet we don't stay focused. We're not consistent sometimes. And we have to recognize these things in order to stay in place to reap the benefits that he says that are ours. And that is so important. If you keep his scriptures in your heart, mind and soul, and you're obedient, this is what happened in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, God got the glory and they were victorious. Because they were obedient. Not at first. We always have to learn something. And when you do something that's not in line with the word, God's going to show it to you if you're open-minded enough to recognize who he is and why he is who he is in your life. That is so important. So important. You have to. This brings out the best of you when you say how important God is to you, because he knows. You can't speak for him. You have to have your life in order, and he will show you how important he is to you. And I am a beneficiary of how important he is to you. And there's no one else around and nobody else you can call on but him, but God. But God. He's all we need in every aspect of our lives. If you walk and talk and be consistent with God in your spiritual life. You all have a blessed week.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. For me, it's very important that we stay out of God's way. Because first of all, he has a plan for all our lives. He has the plan, not we. He has a plan. And it's important that we just trust him, believe in him, have faith in him, and just let his plan go the way he wants it to go. Because
Amen.
When we do otherwise, we mess up our own blessings, you know? He can't do the things for us that he might want to because we up there in the way trying to run things.
Amen.
So
Amen.
He is very important that I just wait on him. I believe in him, and I trust him, and I know it's nobody like him. He's the great I am. He's the one and only.
Amen.
So it's really important that we stay out of God's way in our lives. Like I said, he has a plan, a different plan for each of us and all in our lives. He can't do his plan if we running things. So for me, it's very important. I just wait on him. I love him. I trust him. I believe in him. I know he's going to come through when he says the time to come through, because that's in accordance with what he wants to do for us in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I definitely think it's important to stay out of God's way. I know Aunt Alice touched on it about, you know, you're blocking, you know, your blessing when you try to do it your way, and, you know, God is working it out in his time. But one of the other aspects of it, too, is, and I can, you know, have a personal connection with this comment, but I think it's also important to stay out of the way when you see others struggling, going through certain things, you know, living a life that's not pleasing in the eyes of God. And by no means am I saying don't give somebody a word or don't pray for somebody or pray for that situation, but I think sometimes unknowingly, we make it about ourselves. We try to insert ourselves into a situation and try to fix it and make it right. And it's almost like we
that's
want
right.
it more so than the person that's going through it or continuously going through a vicious storm and a repeated storm. But it's just like sometimes, you know what? We have to sit back. We have to allow God to work and work in that person's life in his time frame. I think so many times we try to run to people's rescue. And you have to pray on it. I know every situation is not necessarily always the same, but I've just found myself caring a little bit too much like it's my life or like it's impacted me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to allow God to work it out in his time frame. And what mm-hmm. I found was mm-hmm. when I did that, that person ended up in having a very strong and powerful testimony when they came in on the other side. And that person had to go through those things and realize that, hey, mm-hmm. the only way that I was able to get out of it was through God. But the human side of us kind of gets involved because we do care, and I do believe that our feelings are genuine when we care. But as we all know, you know, everybody has good intentions for you, but those good intentions don't always lead to great outcomes because we in some form or way insert ourselves in it, not seeing the mm-hmm. picture holistically, and then we end up blocking that person's blessing. So definitely for me, I've had to learn from experience and kind of pray to God and talk to God and allow the Spirit to use me. Sometimes I hate to see it, but I have to stand back and just allow God to work in other people's lives and allow God to show them in whatever way that God wants to show them that, hey, you're not living right, or hey, you're not doing right, or hey, you know, what it is that you're doing isn't pleasing in my sight. So I think that was the most difficult part for me. I did, you know, get to a point where I started to step back in my own life and allow God to work and just continue to pray and have faith. And I think that's very important in the question that you asked, is that sometimes we do it because we don't trust God or we don't have enough faith in God to mm-hmm. say, hey, look, God, I got to step in, God, right now. I mean, you playing around, you taking too long. I don't know if you're working in somebody else's life, but I got to insert myself in the situation. But God, you know, doesn't come when we want him, but he's never late. You know, he's always on time, and he will never put anything on any of us that we are the more than we can bear. So I think for me, it's establishing a relationship with Christ where my faith is strong enough to allow storms to happen in certain people's lives because they need to. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm turning my back mm-hmm. onto them or turning a blind to them. I think God wants us to do so much up to a certain point, but then we realize that once that point, we reach that line, now that's where God has to move and God has to take over. And we just have to sit back and be a witness to it and be there for that person as best as we can. But definitely an excellent question. But yeah, I definitely think that when it comes to a standpoint of helping others out, we do need to sit back, not insert ourselves so much, and allow God to do his work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1510. 1510, you're on there. 1510. They must be listening in. All right. Well, Sheila G, that was going to do it for us tonight. Good lesson, Bill, to get to that verse 18 and learn how to get out of God's way.
I'm going to ask
Dr. G. Dr. G, you have some final comments, and you want to close us out in prayer, please, sir?
Well, the final comments are just get out of his way. God knows what he wants to do. He may not reveal that to us all the time, but we have to learn how to trust him and then obey him and just move on out the way. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you, O Lord. We thank you for just another evening that we could get together and go through your word. Lord, we thank you for what we've learned tonight, Lord, and I pray that what we've learned about Peter and Cornelius will help us to better live our lives. Help us now, Lord, as we go through what we go through, and we realize that you do have a plan. Father, help us to move up. Allow you to take charge and do what you have to do. Father, we thank you for all that you do and pray that you will continue to shine down that light from heaven. We ask it all right now in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night. Good night.